Welcome back. It's the end of the week, and we have much, much more to talk about as we figured we would, relating, of course, to the Cam Newton situation.
I can say that on my behalf, I did not represent the University of Alabama. I did not solicit an offer from Cecil Newton, and I did not pay them any money or offer them any money to come to the University of Alabama.
And I have not seen Kenny Rogers, by the way.
And I have never met Kenny Rogers. I haven't seen him in 20 years.
Well, here's what's going on. I know since we left you last, a lot has transpired. Joe Shad reported Tuesday night that he had heard evidence. What did he say? He quoted a source.
He quoted a source that had heard the phone conversations, and it had Cecil on tape asking for $180,000, and then he had another conversation in which Cam Newton said he's sorry he went to Auburn, but the money was just too much.
Those were the quotes. So that was very indicting there of everybody, including Auburn. Just a few minutes ago, Kenny Rogers, who was on ESPN 103.3 in Dallas last Friday, said that he knew nothing. He denied, and said he hadn't talked to John Bond in over 20 years. Well, he said today, when he was asked by Ian Fitzsimmons if Cecil Newton had ever told him how much money it would get to play for Mississippi State, Rogers responded, yes, he did, anywhere between $100,000 and $180,000. Later in the interview, Rogers said that he and Cecil Newton first talked after Cam left the Florida Gators 2008 season, and he said Cecil Newton told him it's not going to be free this time. So Kenny Rogers basically coming out here and saying he's contradicting himself. Well, he's contradicting himself. I will point out, though, he's talked to the FBI, is what we believe.
And wouldn't you be a little bit more honest if you faced the prospect of going to federal prison?
The feds might have me a little stressed about that. But not only that, he had his attorney sitting with him during the interview, and his attorney actually stepped in a couple times to interfere with some of the questions. So I tend to believe that this interview,
when you lawyer up, serious.
This is the real story right here, for sure. So what does this mean for Mississippi State? Well, it means that Cecil Newton solicited money from Mississippi State when Kenny Rogers was asked about whether or not Mississippi State was ready to play. That's one of those instances when his attorney stepped in and said, "We don't know." Or Mississippi State, we have no knowledge of whether or not Mississippi State was willing to pay. So they could still be in the woods here if something came out of the closet for them. Bottom line is this, though. He acted as an agent.
And according to NCAA rules, if you or someone related to you solicits extra benefits, you are ineligible. I.e., therefore, ergo, Cam Newton is ineligible. However, Jacob Bunn, you said earlier that it has to be has to rule him ineligible?
What I'm being told, and again, this I'm just being told this. I haven't got this confirmed by a source, a very high source, but what I'm being told off the cuff, that the school, in this particular instance, the school has to report the violation and has to rule the player, Cam Newton, ineligible, which we all know. I mean, just assumption, but we all know Auburn is not going to rule Cam Newton ineligible. So what I'm being told, as of right now, I'm going to try to text somebody and see if I can get a better, more definite answer.
Wouldn't
on this.
Wouldn't that kind of be a big FU to the NCAA with what they're doing right now?
I don't think the NCAA, I think after this season, Auburn needs
Secedes
to really...
Secedes from the NCAA?
They really need to consider their options, because they have really made a lot of NCAA people in Indianapolis mad.
This is similar... I know Auburn fans are going to love this, but this is very similar to the Antonio Langham situation in 93 with Alabama. Alabama knew Antonio Langham was ineligible. They played him anyways. It kept coming out. Then around December, the allegations come out. I think it was the LSU game. No, that was November. The allegations come out against Antonio Langham, and they have to basically forfeit the entire season, and their only victory from that year, I believe their victories are Mississippi State and UNC are their official two victories of the year. Everything else was forfeited. So this is not smart by Auburn. If you know the guy's ineligible, you need to sit him. You don't need to keep playing him. The more evidence that comes out, the worse they look, the more stubborn they look, and the more
series they played 10 games. I mean, does it really matter now at this point? I mean,
but what are you gonna?
You're gonna
we beat you on the field. You may have the win in the record book, but we beat you on the field. I mean, it's not gonna. They're using an illegal player.
Yeah, but I think this beat you on the field, though. I think that Cam Newton had a lot to do with why they beat him on the field.
I don't buy that. Cam Newton. I mean, you take away Cam Newton, and LSU beats Auburn. And LSU right now is sitting undefeated, and Lester Miles is...
No, Les Miles. Now, the jury's still out on whether or not LSU has a part, has some involvement in this whole big widespread investigation, so they may not want to say anything. But Les Miles ought to... If I were Les Miles and in his position, I would be absolutely furious that his national championship hopes are down the tube. And it's all because of Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton not being in that game, I think...
Auburn, without a doubt, is not anywhere near 10-0
right question.
Now.
Well, but they don't beat LSU.
They don't beat LSU.
And
they
LSU
probably don't beat South Carolina.
LSU, probably the best team in the conference, would be undefeated. So that right there. And meanwhile, this whole saga has another angle. We mentioned that Joe Shad's report mentioned that Mississippi State, or mentioned that the, I'm sorry, see, I go. I was contradicting what I said earlier. Violations or these phone conversations were I'm stepping all over myself today. The phone conversations were relayed to the SEC in January. That's what was reported by Joe Shad. Last night, Charles Bloom, the SEC's PR guy, said in a statement, I read it on fanhouse.com. Somebody told me that it was on CBS, one of CBS sites. I don't have any confirmation of that. But anyway, Charles Bloom said that the alleged phone conversations were not in the report by either school. What does that mean? That means they're basically just girl dog slapping Mississippi State.
And, you know, Mississippi State's not going to react kindly to the SEC doing that to them. So what will the bullies do? Well, they come out, I guarantee you, we will hear before Sunday if the coaches have the tapes, which we all believe they do. I believe they're going to find some airtime on one of your major networks. I have no doubt whatsoever that if the Mississippi State coaches have the tapes, which a lot of us believe they do, they will find a way to get those aired. Or the New York Times. Or ESPN. Or even right here at WJOX. Somebody's going to come out with
Bun
this.
Sports.
BunSports.com. Listen, we've got the tapes.
All this is going on. This whole conference is taking twists and turns. You have coaches coming out against coaches, or allegedly coaches about coaches. Teams trying to prove that other teams have committed NCAA violations. And the whole time, the SEC office, except for the one little excerpt, the great excerpt from Charles Bloom last night, which we'll get into more specifically in a minute. Other than that, we have heard nothing from the SEC office. And I think... in the minds of a lot of people, a lot of important people in the Southeastern Conference, the silence right now is deafening.
Like that?
Dead air. Dead air is what we are hearing from Mike's Live. This is one of the biggest, I've heard it repeatedly. You've heard it too, time and time again. This is the biggest scandal in the SEC's history. May not want to jump the gun, but in the SEC's history. And where is Mike Slive? I mean, is he playing solitaire with the?
No, he's playing fiddle right now. he's watching it burn in Auburn and Starkville while he sits and plays fiddle.
Is this a ploy? I mean, he said when he became prime minister of the SEC that he was going to run a probation-free conference. Is this an attempt to cover up? Was this an attempt to cover up Auburn possibly being on probation to save that image? I mean, it's a fair question. It's a very fair question. Now, obviously, it's just an assumption, but it's a fair question and one that I think every question at this point deserves to be asked.
I like Mike Slive. I think he's a good commissioner, but his silence is deafening, like you said. And I think that he needs to play sheriff. Right now, we've got everything running wild. We need a Wyatt Earp to straighten out Dodge.
Cecil Hurt said earlier about this statement made by Charles Bloom last night, that if he's going to say that this was not in the report, and he said that the alleged phone conversations were not in either school's report, okay, if he says that, he is in effect discussing the contents of the report. So if he discusses that content of the report, how is the entire report not discussed? How you can say, well, this is not in it. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we have 300 reporters from all over the Southeast just gather in an auditorium in Birmingham and just, why don't we just have a guessing game? Is this in the report? And the mic's live. Can you get up there? Yay or nay?
Just tweeted by Feinbaum. SEC Charles Bloom to the Tuscaloosa News. The SEC will not comment on any additional information that was shared between Mississippi State and the SEC office. So they're
just
releasing bits and pieces, and Mississippi State's like, screw it. We want it all out there.
Yeah, well, they're going to get it out there because New York Times and ESPN have obviously more integrity to get the right story out there than the SEC does. The SEC is being very, very selective about what they put out there. So I think we ought to just gather everybody in a room and just ask questions. Is this in the report? Is there an earmark for this?
They're not going to take
anything. Is there a pork barrel spending for this?
They're not going to take any questions.
I mean, they can't just be so selective with what they put out there. Do you not agree? Do you agree?
It's horrible. I mean, I'm surprised no one's tried to use Freedom of Information Act yet.
That's a good point. Bun Sports is using that right now.
So just be prepared. This is only going to get messier. Heck, tonight, watch SportsCenter. We may have another breaking thing. Everyone was huddled around last night.
Yeah,
nothing happened.
I think these tapes are going to come out soon.
There's no way that they're going to – whoever has the tapes will keep sitting on the tapes. These tapes are going to be exposed.
It takes me a little while to edit these shows, so by the time I get these shows up on the website, the tapes may be out there. But I think that these tapes are coming out soon. What is on the tapes, that is yours to speculate. Well, I'm not going to do so right here. So, with all that being said, where does that leave us? Where does that leave Mississippi State? More importantly, where does that leave Auburn? And I'll let you analyze that.
Right now, Auburn is basically the old damned if they do, damned if they don't. Their offense runs through Cam Newton. Everyone can say that they have Michael Dyer, they have Ontario McCaleb. No. The threat of Cam Newton makes everybody dangerous. You take away Cam Newton, put in a Neil Caudle or a Barrett Trotter, you take away the quarterback aspect of running. So Auburn's basically, they've invested their entire season around Cam. They're 10-0 because of Cam. They're not going to give up now until they are forced by the NCAA to do so. So we may see the first dead man walking BCS national champion, knowing that they're all going to have to forfeit.
It's incredible.
Which is really
incredible.
Which is really bad for the NCAA because this is blatantly costing Boise State and TCU a shot at the title. And if everybody knows Auburn's guilty, but they're letting them walk, this is horrible. For the NCAA will take a massive hit. Do not be surprised if this involves Congress. And
well, speaking
a lot
of Congress,
federal agencies.
We have more breaking news. Right as we speak, John Solomon, who writes for the Birmingham News, just tweeted that John Bond tells ESPN that he will meet with the FBI on Tuesday, and he plans at that time to turn over phone records.
And Feinbaum just confirmed jurors that it is, according to the NCAA, the decision of a school to rule a student-athlete ineligible, not the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know Auburn ain't going to do nothing with that.
Auburn would have no reason to do that. Auburn, I mean, it's amazing. Auburn, this whole thing, they can beat teams, they can beat Georgia, they can beat Alabama, they can even beat Florida, but it's not going to matter. It's amazing. It's not going to matter. The evidence right now is so incriminating. It's almost, you almost want the SEC or the NCAA to step in just to keep it from being a total fraud and a total scam, because that's exactly what it's going to end up becoming when they're playing for that national championship, if they get that far, with an ineligible player, knowing that every single game, including, by the way, the BCS championship game, this is something that hasn't been discussed. We'll discuss it as we get further down the road, but the BCS championship game can be vacated too. Now, the championship itself, I think the BCS has to take away, but
they did not take away from USC for the 2004 national.
But
BCS
I tend to think this one's a much different case here.
And now you have you obviously have Auburn in the wrong here. We know Cam's ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing with an ineligible player. The Heisman odds have been taken out of Vegas casinos. The Georgia-Auburn game has been pulled off every sports book. What are the voters going to do if they have to punish Auburn? They're going to have to drop them out so that Auburn doesn't affect the chances of a Boise State or a TCU. We may even see voters sympathize with LSU and vote them higher, thinking that they would be undefeated right now. So this is just going to be a huge, huge storm of fecal matter that will blow back on the NCAA, SEC, Auburn. It's going to give college football a huge black eye.
Yeah, no doubt. This story is the number one story in sports right now, and it just happens to be here in the state of Alabama and dealing with the sport that we cover, college SEC football. And what happens to the SEC? Well, right now the SEC is having one of the darkest hours it has had in a long, long time. Mike Slive and the boys better get it together soon, or there are going to be repercussions. I really think that some of the members in this league are not going to stand for what's going on right now.
And it'll force the hand of a lot of people. Agents are running wild. You've got eligibility issues. You've got eligibility issues running wild here.
Yeah.
That they need to get rid of the veil of amateurism. And you've got a whole new can of worms that opens up with the Title IX and paying everybody equally. But it has to be addressed. We're going to have to start paying college athletes. We're going to have to do something because the money is just getting too much for a lot of student athletes. And not saying they're completely innocent. Not every student athlete is completely innocent. Some are in it to make as much money as possible because they know their career is limited in the athletic field. So this is just a huge, huge fecal storm. And we're going to have to address a lot of questions that people won't want to address because it's nasty, it's shady, it's slimy. It's stuff people don't want to have to deal with, but you know what? You're going to have to deal with it.
You are indeed. So with that being said, possibly the biggest game of this weekend in the conference that we would discuss has that cloud hanging over it. And the Cam Newton situation has been the biggest topic of discussion on every talk show in the nation, sports-related, the last couple days. And it definitely has been ours, and we're going to take the last couple minutes, though, and change gears, as always, to preview the upcoming weekend in SEC football. But you know, when you come to that game of the week, and Auburn and Georgia is our game of the week, and now it's tainted by the fact that this Newton cloud hangs over it, and everybody in the nation now knows that Cam Newton's ineligible, and he's still going to play. Knowingly, if Auburn wins, they're going to have to forfeit the game. So it really just—it's interesting. I mean, have you ever, Sears? You ever remember anything like this?
Yeah, you have to go back to the '90s with the Antonio Langham thing when that rumor was swirling around, and everybody knew something was up with it, but they still used it anyways. It's got to be hard. I mean, Auburn fans, you're in the wrong here. You can defend all you want, but Cam is in the wrong, and he's ineligible. Now, the worst part is this going to show that Auburn paid for Cam? And if Auburn ended up paying for Cam, you're going to be hit with both barrels of the shotgun. Right now, you're just playing with an ineligible player. If it comes out you paid for him, you are going to be in very, very deep.
Yeah, it'd be worse. It'd be worse than just an ineligible player. Then you'll have the NCAA likely hammer you. And I mean that as literally as legitimately as I could possibly say.
It'll be on the level of Alabama in 2002 and USC this year, and maybe even worse.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to take too kindly to some of the things Auburn has said and done. So WJOX in Birmingham just reported that today was not a surprise to the people in Auburn.
And we also have a retweet from the people of WJOX in Birmingham that a local attorney, Don Jackson, who has extensive experience with the NCAA, says the NCAA rarely penalizes for solicitation. So,
Well,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. But rarely is an interesting term, especially when you're dealing with possibly the greatest player to be encapsulated in a season in a long, long time. Okay, so UTEP and Arkansas. Who do you think? Arkansas?
I'm going to definitely take Arkansas. It's got to be a homecoming game. Mallett puts up a bunch of numbers on UTEP's inferior secondary. I think Houston torched them earlier in the year. they'll pass all over them. They have a better defense to actually compete with them. So give me the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, I like the Hogs too. How about LSU after that big emotional win? Any problems with Louisiana Monroe?
I doubt it. Right now, LSU knows they're playing for something extra, especially if these Cam Newton allegations come in to play where he is ruled ineligible and we find
lucky less.
Less would be Pat Forty's article about how he has a special deal with the devil will definitely come into play if Les Miles ends up getting his loss back as a victory, and then he gets to go on and play for a national championship.
He just eats grass.
He just eats grass for the extra protein.
Vanderbilt, by the way, I'm same here. I like LSU big. Vanderbilt at Kentucky.
Give me the big blue. I like Kentucky the way they're playing football right now. They look like they've got everything together. I like Kentucky's chances.
I do, too. As it approaches basketball season, you have to think that optimism in the Commonwealth State is at an all-time high. Ole Miss at Tennessee. It's on CBS, 11 o'clock, possibly the most unwatched CBS game of the year. It'll probably be a good game, but who really cares about these two teams?
I like Tennessee in here because I think Tennessee's starting to put it together. The freshman quarterback, whose name escapes me, that was named starter, he looked very good last week when he was playing. So I'm going to take Tennessee. Looks like they got their offense going after that destruction of Memphis. Give me Tennessee over Ole Miss.
Yeah, in Rocky Top, you have to think Tennessee's going to come out fired up. However, I'm taking Ole Miss. I like Ole Miss to win that contest. Big game on ESPN, and that would be played in the Swamp, South Carolina against Florida for the SEC East. Who wins it? Who goes to Atlanta?
Experience in big games is huge. Winning experience in big games is even bigger. Give me the mighty Gators to roll over Stephen Garcia, because Stephen Garcia will face the best defense he has faced all year with the Florida Gator defense. I like Florida to win big. I'm going to say 35-7.
Oddly enough, since Florida ended their losing streak, they haven't played a game in the Swamp, because you have to remember they lost the back-to-back games to LSU and Mississippi State in the Swamp, so they didn't play very well down there. Are they going to be Gator bait for the third straight time in the Swamp? I don't think so. I think Florida gets it. I like your pick there. I'm going to go with the Gators. Game played in Tuscaloosa, a little bit closer than usual in years past. But Mississippi State and Alabama is always a competitive game, with the exception of last year. Mississippi State actually had two in a row on Alabama going into 2008.
Well, you got to remember 2008, Alabama blew them out here in Tuscaloosa.
With that being said, Mississippi State on a high. My question is this: do they bring their sources with them?
Wow. Mississippi State also being completely ignored right now as they're playing their first game after the death of Nick Bell. That fact's being ignored. No. Nick Bell from Bessemer, good friends with Marcel Darius, going to be a very emotional game. Hopes. And we've seen in 2007 when Alabama lost everything, they collapsed. We saw in 2008 when they lost the SEC championship game, they collapsed. You got to think Alabama has a history of collapsing. I'm going to take Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think you do. However, I don't know. I saw Alabama play in person against Florida, Penn State, and Ole Miss at home. There's something about Bryant-Denny Stadium that really just makes Alabama play better this year, because that's a good Florida team, as we see now, that they just ran out of town.
They just needed Chris Rainey.
I like Alabama, and this one do like it very close, 20-13. I like the Crimson Tide. Georgia and
Auburn.
CAMU, Scandal U. Who do you take?
I'm going to say it's too much of a distraction for the Auburn Tigers. They're just way, way too defensive right now, and everyone's like, oh, Cam's going to play angry. Cam's going to be the monster. Cam's just going to take everybody on his back and show them that he's the best player. Well, you know what? He may, but there's a guy named A.J. Green who was the best player on the field for the entire team of Georgia, better than anybody on Auburn. I'm going to take A.J. Green leading the Georgia Bulldogs to victory in a close one, 31-28.
I am going to take the Bulldogs. I like Aaron Murray coming along. He's going to be big in this league, I think, in the coming years. Auburn has way too much going on. They have NCAA investigators standing in the end zones waiting for the team to come off the field. That's how bad it is right now down there. So, I like Georgia's offense. At the beginning of the week, I talked to Auburn fans, oh, yeah, well, just get Cam in there. Their offense is a machine. However, just as you said, they're all going to get out there and rally around Cam. I'm not buying it. I think Auburn is shaking in their boots. I think their coaching staff is preoccupied with something else, taking away from game preparation. A lot of factors. I like Georgia.
This is just a huge distraction. If Auburn can focus on game, that'll be a great job by Gene Chizik.
It really
and
will
I
be.
Just do not think he's a good enough coach to get the team to focus on this. I would not be surprised to see Georgia come out and wipe the floor with Auburn.
I think you're right, and then that sets up a game in Tuscaloosa next week, and well, of course, we'll get to that next week. We have another show in between now and then anyway, but two weeks. Folks, if Cam Newton plays every game, I think Auburn has a very, very good chance to win. But if I were, we talk a lot about odds in Vegas right now. If I were your odds makers, I wouldn't bet on Cam Newton finishing. If you're going to the national championship game, I wouldn't bet on Cam Newton being there.
This is David Sears with Jacob Bunn for the Jacob Bunn Show. We'll be back next Tuesday.